The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
But there is something about, you think about winter and there's a preparation time in winter. You know, there is. The ground's getting ready for spring. And I think about that even spiritually in the house. We're going to be looking at our calendar and different things, and Sarah and I have been talking about there's some events coming, and those events are ordained to encourage, promote, and act as a springboard in our faith and in our walk, in the ministry that Case was talking about, that you're equipped for, you're called to. Each and everyone has a ministry, and it is vital. You know, I think back 30 years ago, you know, God had a plan for me, but even what I was doing then was important for now. Well, it's the same for you. It is. It's vital what you're doing now. It doesn't become more important. Whatever God's telling you to do at that time is the most important, because he's able to do above and beyond anything you can think about, right? And he'll use you. And he wants to use you. He's using us. And so I thank Jim and Missy. I thank them for going to these conferences. They always bring back so much. I mean, even they hit the nail on the head today on what they brought, because that's the direction I'm preaching, to be honest. And so you always know the Lord has a plan when he brings everything together. So, Father, I do thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to come before you and look into your word. Thank you for the truth of your word, Father. Sanctify us by your word. Your word is truth. We want to learn more about you. We want to grow in you, that we can be active doers of your word, following the leading of the Holy Spirit, because that's where the power is. That's where the true work of your ministry is, guided by your spirit. And Father, we just want to be leadable. Help us to be leadable, to follow you and to accomplish the things you've called us to accomplish in this region, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So, as I prayed about, you know, preaching today, we're teaching on the Holy Spirit. We talked about being, you know, convinced, faith-filled, being Spirit-led. And today we're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 15 and 16. It says, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy." So be holy. Be holy in all your conduct. The tendency when you hear that is, uh-oh. When the creator of the universe tells you to be holy, for I am holy. And then the scripture in 16, it comes from Leviticus, okay? Now, what's the book of Leviticus? A lot of do's and don'ts. Do these things. Do these things. But you have to think about, why did God give us the law? To teach us we couldn't keep it. So it's kind of like, okay, be holy in all my conduct. The tendency is to focus on the rules, Leviticus. Really, your flesh will tell you, you do something because the Almighty God told you to be holy. We got to do something. But when you look at all the rules, it gets you focusing on your sin. Focusing on your sin will just lead to more sin. It really will. Sin focus does not lead to holiness. It doesn't. And Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I mean, there is sin in the word, right? I mean, when you go against the word of God, it's sin. If it's written there and it says it's sin, it's sin. I don't care what the culture says. If God's word says it's sin, it's sin. The Holy Spirit will never tell you to sin. He'll never tell you sin is okay, regardless of how you feel, right? But what does the Holy Spirit do? He leads us to holiness. Amen? See, focusing on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, is where our focus should be. It shouldn't be on sin. It should be on Jesus, right? He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Faith in God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is what leads to the sanctification of the soul, because when it's talking about our conduct, it's talking about be holy in your walk, in your soul man. Okay, where are you already holy? We know this. In your spirit. You're holy in your spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's there. Praise God. It's the only place I am holy. Right? And yet he's telling me in my conduct to act holy. Well, how am I going to do that? By the Holy Spirit. Stop imitating the ideals and the opinions of the culture. It's their scripture they had. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Where do you think? In your soul, man. This will empower you. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying, and then it says perfect in his eyes. Holy. It's going to be by the Holy Spirit, and it'll never go against the word. Ever. Amen? All right. So we know, last week we talked about it, Romans 4, 3. The scriptures tell us Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteousness. Why? Because he acted holy? No, it was his faith. It said, because of his faith. He believed God. It was because of his faith. He was counted as righteous because of his faith. And see, when we, again, ABCs of salvation, admit and acknowledge I needed a Savior, believe Jesus is that Savior, and confess it with my mouth. What happens? The Holy Spirit comes inside of my spirit. Now, I have an opportunity, because of whom I believed, the author and the finisher of my faith, I have an opportunity for my conduct to be lined up with the Holy Spirit of God. But it's a choice. Always a choice. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin, who is actually holy, Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Remember, our righteousness is tied upon what he did and who we chose to believe. Right. Now we're in right standing. So now, let's go back to 1 Peter and I'll start preaching. Because you get to 15 and 16, it says, be holy. Well, we might want to read above and let's see what he's saying, right? 1 Peter 1, I'm going to read 1 and 2. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So Sarah sent me a little meme. Is that what they call it? And it's got this little baby going, and that's me saying Old Testament words. It's like an old baby. Yep, that's what it says. Right? Close enough. She knows I can pronounce them that way. All right, verse 2, it says, the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, look what it says, in sanctification of the Spirit. That comes through your faith in Christ. So you're sanctified in your spirit because the Holy Spirit came inside of you and sealed you under the day of redemption, right? It's in Ephesians. And then look what it says, for obedience. That happens in my soul, man. My mind, my will, and my emotions. Okay, you follow me? And the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah, and it says, grace to you. That was grace, unmerited favor. Praise God, and peace be multiplied to you. Holiness of the soul involves obedience. Right? Goes back to John 17, 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Where am I being sanctified by God's word? In my soul. Why? Because my mind needs to be renewed. I've got to change the way I think. I can't try to be holy. I have to choose to be obedient. I can't. How many people, again, you know, you first start going to church, you start kind of learning what the Bible says, and all of a sudden, you kind of become a little aware of your sin in your life. It's not real comfortable. And you say, okay, I'm going to stop doing this stuff, and I'm going to start doing this stuff. And it kind of works for a little while, kind of, right? And as Paul says in Romans, I find myself doing the things I didn't want to do. And then he says, oh, what a wretched man that I am. But then what does he say? But praise God for the grace I've found in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He points right back to Jesus. Because it's like, you know, and remember, he knew Leviticus. He had to memorize it. I get tied up in the first 10 verses, right? He knew the law. And yet he recognized his vital need of Jesus and the grace that was afforded to him. And that's what we all need. But we need the scriptures, right? 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I am righteous, now how do I walk it out? Well, I get the word into me. That the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, you have a work to do. And I want to be fully equipped to walk that out in right standing with God, but in a way he says, right? Okay. Now let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, meaning I didn't earn it, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. Boy, I like those promises. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. There's a lot in here, but I almost just read this. We could preach this for a week, but that's okay. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice. We should be having a good time. Though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. Yes, that's going to happen too. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. That's what Jim was talking about earlier. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. The salvation of my spirit happened at the moment I accepted Christ as my Savior. Oh, thank you, Lord. Woo! Amen! I get to go to heaven! The walk in this world with the various trials and tribulations and the crucifying of my flesh, my sin nature every day, on my best day and my worst day, the end of that, as I walk into eternity face to face with Jesus Christ, is the salvation of my mind, will, and emotions. Meaning, it's not going to happen fully here. And if that's what you're expecting, you're going to be disappointed. Why? Because you don't understand the scripture. And you're focusing on yourself. Disappointment will come when you're focused on yourself and your ability or inability, depending on how you're judging it that day. And remember, it's always, when you find yourself condemned, I mean, you're looking at it from your point of view, influenced by the enemy, because you're focused on yourself. When you look at it through the eyes of Christ, what he's saying is, get up, dust yourself off. Look at what I'm doing to you. Change your mind. Think like I think about this. Because he never gives up on you, ever. When you're saved and his spirit's inside of you, he ain't giving up, ever. On your best day or your worst day, he feels the same about you. That's hard to accept, huh? It really kind of is. You know, when I have my crappy days, I can say crappy. I have some of those where the flesh rises up and you look back on your day and say, whoa, that was not a spirit-led walk today. It's not like God says, well, you're fired. No, he says, do you recognize what came of the flesh walk? You didn't like it, did you? No. Now follow me. Admit it, quit it. Now let's forget it. Let's go on. Stay focused on me, not about your abilities or inabilities. When you focus on all the abilities stuff, right, you get kind of puffed up, get proud, and all of a sudden we're in trouble. When you focus on your inabilities, you're focused on yourself and how bad you are, and you're not any good to anybody. Because again, it's all self. It's all selfishness. It's just one side or the other, right? And yet he's the one who empowers us to do the things he's called us to do. And there's no self in that. It's all him. We recognize. I mean, I don't say, well, I'm just a horrible little sinner. No, I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Right? But I'm also not, I'm not this or this. I'm not, it's not my way or the highway. No, it's always God's way, which takes the pressure off me. Because I know someone who knows everything about everything. And he lives inside of me. He knows everything about everything. And he lives inside of me. So through my faith in Christ, I get to have the Spirit of God residing inside of me, who knows everything about everything, leading me into all truth. Showing me the scriptures I need for that day for my faith to rise up, to walk out the calling I have. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Unmerited favor. And it goes down and it says, even the angels want to look into this. They do. Can you imagine being a created being serving God? And you see the Creator take his spirit and put into an unholy vessel and making that part of the vessel holy. And then asking that vessel to walk out a holiness. Those angels are like, let me help. I'll be sent for them. They get excited. They hearken to the voice of God's word when it comes out of his servants' mouths. They hearken to it because they understand how marvelous this is, even if you don't. Let's go to verse 13. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. I'm going to have to explain that. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Christ. In the Passion, it says, prepare your hearts and your minds for action. Prepare your soul for action. That's what it's saying. Prepare your soul for action. And look what 14 says. Verse 14 now. But put it in the New King James. I may have did it the other way. Oh, it's okay. As God's obedient children. Look what it says. Right after there, prepare your hearts and minds. As obedient children. Obedience. Obedience. Remember, we've talked about walking with God is about believing him and then doing what he says. At the end of the day, that's it. When I say loving God and loving people, loving God is doing what he says. That's what it says. That's obedience. Believe in him, you'll walk out that love and you'll love somebody else. It may come in. Who knows? It says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance. That's in the ways of the world. That's what they're talking about in Romans 12. And then it says, our scripture we talked about. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. It's written, be holy for I am holy. Holiness is conduct of obedience. Holiness is conduct of obedience. Being spirit-led is the only path to obedience. It's the only path. But here's a spoiler alert. And it says it in Hebrews. Oh, I messed that up. But Hebrews 5:8. It says Jesus learned obedience through suffering. I thought we taught prosperity. There's a lot of prospering and learning to obey. I'll just be honest with you. See, prosperity doesn't come without sanctification. I'll just be honest with you. My soul will prosper. I will prosper in all things and be in health as my soul prospers. That's in 1 John in there. It's in there. How does my soul prosper? By being spirit-led. My soul prospers as I'm obedient to God. Verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. What kind of fear is he talking about? It's that reverential respect of God. If you were here last Tuesday night or watched, it's in Isaiah 11. It's in verse 2. It talks about the seven spirits of God. It's the seven aspects of the Holy Spirit. It's the seven attributes of him. Let's just say it that way. One of them is the spirit of the fear of the Lord, meaning he'll teach you to revere God. Let me tell you something. The more you know him, the more you'll revere him. You'll have a respect for him. You'll have a respect for his presence inside of you, which will help you in your sensitivity to him. Right? I mean, he could make me fear him. He could. Oh, easily. Wouldn't even take much. He draws us. And he draws us with his love, with his mercy, right? But as we watch him in power and in action by the Holy Spirit, there's that reverence that comes, that this is who we serve. And his way is the only way. And when I step outside of his way, that's when there's danger. Really. Because the enemy is wanting to devour you. But he's under your feet as you walk that path of righteousness in him. And you're empowered. So you have power by the Holy Spirit to do this. So when it says, be holy for I'm holy, I can do this because I'm walking in obedience to what the Spirit's telling me. And when I find myself in disobedience with the sin that so easily ensnares us, that's in Hebrews, I'm quick to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading, the conviction that, hey, I need to repent of this. I got to get back over here quickly. I'm telling you guys, sin isn't the problem. Pride and stubbornness is a problem, which is sin. It's when people don't want to recognize their sin quick. That's when they get in trouble. Because, again, spoiler alert, you don't get the complete work of faith sanctified in your soul until the end. Until we cross over, right? We got to continue to crucify the flesh until that day. But it's okay. Let's just be quick to do it. That's all. Be quick to recognize when I'm walking in the flesh. Because the fruit of the flesh is evident. It tells us in Galatians 2 as well. It's not in chapter 2. It's in 5 and 6. It's just being quick to recognize those things. And then to be encouraged that his Spirit's inside of you. Hey, come on. It's okay. Let's go. Verse 18 then says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like gold or silver from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Just teaching. But with the precious blood of Jesus as of a lamb without blemish or spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Let's get to verse 22. Since you have purified your souls. In what? Obeying the truth through who? The Spirit. You need to underline 22. stars, arrows. You've purified your souls in obeying the truth. And it has to be through the Spirit. Can't be from your will and even your want to. With the sincerest of hearts, you won't get there. I mean, how many times have you cried before God because you tried to do the right thing and you found yourself not? And you finally had to say, Helper, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. And he does, because it's through the Spirit. And then look what it says next. In sincere love of the brethren. It's always about other people, guys. You see, if it was only about you and God, if that was it, once you came to salvation, he would have probably snatched us up, brought him with him, and then we're done, right? And each person would just be snatched up one by one. And boy, wouldn't that have been fun. It wouldn't have taught us. It wouldn't have trained us. It wouldn't have trained us for a time that he's going to use us to help other people even after a whole nother teaching. You see, we have to walk out this process of the sanctification or the purification of our soul by obedience, being Spirit-led. And that leads us to function with other people. Because, guys, our walk with God is always about other people. It is. Trust me. Because we then become his body. And the body of Christ functions at the will of the head. And God's will is that none should perish. That's what it's about. It is about none should perish. Well, they're going to perish without Jesus. Guys, that's a written down rule. The wages of sin is death. Somebody's got to pay you that wage. I can't pay it. Jesus paid it for me. Woo! Praise God. But there's people that don't know Jesus. They don't understand grace through faith. Who's God going to use? You. Because you're the only you there is. And he put you with other people around you. And the other yous that are around you, I don't know those yous. They're not my sheep. But they're going to be somebody's sheep as you share Jesus with them. Amen? How cool is that? I mean, God's plan is perfect. And he uses imperfect people to accomplish it. He's that big. Doesn't bother him. Your inabilities does not hang him up. Doesn't hang him up. Because he gave you his Spirit, which empowers you to do greater than you can even imagine anyway. And that's where the power is. That's where the joy is. That's where the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's where the fruit of the Spirit is. It's in him, see? So now, I can be holy because he is holy. I can. I can all the time when I am. Meaning, no, it's not 100% perfect walk, but it's 100% recognizing that my soul man is being sanctified and purified by his word and his Spirit, and then I function in love, which means I'm dealing with other people, right? And that doesn't mean I'm you loving it, you know, no. But it's a love of God through me to other people so that they can see his love operating in us, because we're his disciples. And how are we known? By the love we have for one another. That's how we're known, right? That means I'm not going to be offended. right? I am certain I have ticked off a few of you people at different times. Don't look at me, Sarah. I apologize, but don't let that hold you up. Don't let it hold you up. In fact, forgive me, whether I deserve it or not, and walk on. Right? Because God has a higher calling for you. And it's that walk, that's that purifying walk of faith that he'll empower you to do.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness. I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore. Tomorrow